The Wall Street Journal said he's one of the most innovative minds in football.
He's a rat.
ESPN once called him the guru of the spread.
Scumbag.
Football Scoop labeled him the mastermind behind college football's number one offense.
Nobody likes him, not even his family.
He took three separate teams over a five-year period and made each a top-10 offense.
Yeah, but he's such a horse's ass. He was fired by future United States Senator Tommy Tuberville in the middle of the season, even though he had a 5-2 record.
No wonder CBS Sports said there's never been quite a coach like Franklin. He marches to a different beat.
Pariah, an outcast, a person or animal that is despised, shunned, or avoided. Warning, buckle up and put your big boy pants on. This isn't your friendly kiss-ass coach's show. If you can't handle the truth, eject immediately.
And now, from parts unknown, it's the Pigskin Pariah. The one, the only, Coach Tony Franklin.
Sunday, October the 24th, 9:50 a.m. That's right, guys. I'm a little bit late putting this out. We actually put it out at 1 a.m. yesterday. However, because of technical difficulties, the Coach TF Grey Goose Top 10 was delayed. And the shame of it is, it wasn't even because of Grey Goose. I didn't even get to have one single double shot yesterday in order to put out my Grey Goose Top 10. But this morning, we will come out with a better version of it, and you'll have it here Sunday morning. The Grey Goose Top 10 number one team after 8 weeks is still Georgia, and it's not even close. There's not anybody that after today's games, this week's games, there's not anybody that jumped off the screen and said, wow, I think we can go beat Georgia. The answer is very simply, everybody kind of just fell back even a little bit more away from Georgia. Georgia had an open date, so they were able to get some guys healthy, and almost everybody gets better during open dates. So Georgia is a even more solid number one than they were last week. Alabama in their win over Tennessee, any win is good. They ended up blowing them out, scored 50-something points, but there's some problems, and the problems are obvious. I thought that the announcers did a decent job because usually the announcers are so horrible in analyzing football, is that I thought they did a good job of just showing that very simply Alabama can't get lined up. There were two times where they gave up easy post routes on RPOs that any little league quarterback could have thrown, very simply because they can't get lined up. And so they got problems. They've had problems before. I've always seen years where Alabama struggles in switching off coverages where they play a lot of man zone concepts. They have a lot of last minute communication. Every defensive coordinator that I've ever been around has the same issue, which is there's always a check and a checkmate. Every single thing that an offense does, there's a check to it to where a defensive coordinator can look at the head coach and say, well, we should have checked to this, or we didn't get the check. This guy checked it and the other guy didn't check it. And the bottom line is there's always some in-between area that at the last moment, something doesn't happen the way it's supposed to happen, and it's never the coach's fault. It's always the player's fault. I've always thought that's the biggest downfall of defensive coaches is the simple fact that you got to have something that's just a base go-to. It's not a check. You can set and you can line up no matter what they do, you're sound. But with that being said, Bama's got problems. They're not getting their checks right. They're not getting in the right coverages. They're getting screwed on safety help on some things. And even when Tennessee played a super fast tempo play, the corner doesn't get lined up. He's got his eyes inside. The ball snapped. He doesn't even know. The receiver's already run right by him, and he's not ready. So they still got problems. They're not fixed yet. And any time that you're playing defense as inconsistently as Alabama is playing their defense, when you play that inconsistently, there's a very good chance that you're going to lose to somebody that you shouldn't lose to. So I'm not as comfortable with Alabama. I still believe that Coach Saban will get it fixed, but it ain't fixed yet. And so they got problems. Anybody that can play super fast tempo against them will have a chance if they're a good, talented team. And I think that's the one thing when you look towards the Iron Bowl, Auburn has begun to play with more tempo at times. That could be a problem for Alabama that Auburn could take advantage of if they just really get good at their tempo between now and the time that that starts. So the number three team is Ohio State. Ohio State just continues to get better. They continue to improve every single week. They continue to basically every week the offense is just becoming more and more dominant. Now, Indiana's had a bad year. Indiana's had trouble against everybody. But with that being said, for them to go out the first half and throw up 44 points and just to move the ball at will, as I said, since the open date, Ohio State's quarterback is a different player. He was good before, but he is special now, and he's playing at a different level. I still worry about Ohio State's defense not being an elite defense, and I still believe that they could be beaten by our number five team, but let's get to number four first. Number four, Ole Miss. I'm moving Ole Miss up to number four because I believe still that Lane Kiffin is having a special season. Great players. The quarterback is phenomenal. They've got a couple of really good running backs. Receivers can make plays. Offensive line, I think, is physical and plays hard and plays tough. The defense is better than what they have been in the past. You take away the Arkansas game, which obviously you could take away any games, but they bounced back against Tennessee. And then they also bounced back yesterday against LSU. And I just believe that they're on a destiny, that they've got a shot at finishing 11-1. And if they do, wow, that's going to make the committee have some awful hard decisions to make when they come to picking the final four. So Ole Miss is the number four team, and I'm pulling for them because of one of my special podcasts, The Leadership of Lane Kiffin, the fact that he got 100% of his team and all the people in the football department to get vaccinated. Pretty cool deal. So that brings us to number five, Michigan. Michigan pulled off another good, solid win, and they look good doing against a really bad Northwestern team. But here's the thing about Michigan is that they have gotten better, I think, as the season has progressed. I said my biggest issue is whether or not Harbaugh is going to pull the offense back and make them quit doing as many RPOs, that he's going to step in and get involved. And you can tell every week that he's not. He's letting the offense be who Coach Gattis wants them to be, and they're good. The running backs are good. Both running backs are really good football players, especially number two is my favorite guy, but the other guy's really good as well. The quarterbacks, they've got a nice little mix now where they're mixing in their zone runner some, and the defense is playing as good as they can play. I don't think they're an elite defense, but I think they're playing as good as they can play. Obviously, they have an elite pass rusher, a top 10 draft pick guy, but with that being said, Michigan is my solid number five. Cincinnati fans be upset at me. I've got them at number six, and I don't believe that Cincinnati should be in the Final Four talk just simply because of their schedule. And yeah, they played two Power Five teams and they beat them. One of them is a horrible Indiana team, and the other one a bad Notre Dame team that only has one loss. And so the fact that they beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame, the committee is going to keep them in mind. But I still don't believe that even if they went out, you know, they beat Navy yesterday 27-20. Navy is not an elite team, but Navy is playing better football. Anytime you play an option team, you can have issues. But the problem with Cincinnati yesterday was they were not an elite offense against a defense that has been struggled throughout the season. So I just don't see how you can justify putting Cincinnati ahead of the one-loss conference teams that are from the Big Ten or from the SEC. I think all of those schedules are much better, and I think that Cincinnati would not be able to do that in those conferences. They do have a good football team. They've got a really good football coach, and you know they deserve to be talked about, but I do not believe they deserve to be in the Final Four, regardless of how they finish the year out. Oregon is my number 17. Big win for them against UCLA yesterday. A really good job. And I said the biggest thing that Oregon was missing the last few weeks that people don't even, you know, it blows my mind listening to these supposed football experts that they don't even recognize this. Joe Moorhead had surgery. He wasn't involved in the offense. He couldn't call the plays. That's a huge deal when you're an elite play caller like he is. He is special. Mississippi State made the biggest mistake of their life firing him. He is an elite football coach. And the fact that he's at Oregon, he makes them better. And he did a hell of a job. The quarterback looked like a different player for one reason. Joe Moorhead was back calling the plays and coaching him. So a huge win over UCLA. Great football game. You know, I hated that Chip Kelly lost that game, that UCLA is not going to end up winning 10 games in the regular season, because I thought that Chip has done a hell of a job. And I still believe UCLA is completely bananas nuts if they get rid of Chip Kelly. He's got that thing almost now to where it's ready to go. He's a different breed. He's a different type of guy. And you got to let him get the players in that fit his mentality. But big win for Oregon yesterday to pull that game off, and they're my number 7. The team that dropped, huge for me, was Oklahoma. I know any win's a good win, any road's a good win. No, not at Kansas. Kansas is horrible, and Oklahoma could not stop Kansas' offense, which is just mind-boggling. Oklahoma's just not good enough on defense they're not going to win out. The quarterback is phenomenal. The change at quarterback has given them the chance. He's special beyond imagination. A future number one pick in the draft type guy. Great leadership. Can do it all. But the defense is so bad and getting worse. They did not have any answers to Kansas, and Kansas is horrible. And so I can't, there's no way in the world that I see Oklahoma winning out. There's no way in the world that Oklahoma can end up being a Final Four team. So I dropped Oklahoma down to number 8. I thought their quarterback could overcome everything, and he did yesterday, but he's not going to overcome that against any true top 5 team. No way. So Oklahoma has dropped to number 8 for me. Wake Forest, on the other hand, those dudes find a way to win. I mean, I'm talking about special coaching. At Army to score 70 points, I know they gave up 56, but they're not good on defense. But they know how to win. My God, do they know how to win football games. And hats off again to David Clawson and to his staff for going to Army, scoring 70 points at Army against a defense that was in the top 10 of all the defenses in college football going into that game. Now, we saw some weaknesses for Army when they had played Western Kentucky, where Western threw the ball up and down the field and threw for about 500 yards against them. So we knew that that was a possibility. But for Wake Forest to score 70 points, and that's just mind-boggling. Can Wake Forest win every game and win the ACC and end up being in the Final Four? I don't think they can. I hope they do, because right now the ACC is just not a very, you know, it's, you could say, well, everybody's the same in the ACC. Or you could also say, hey, there's not an elite team in the ACC. I think that in the ACC, you've had a movement with Pittsburgh, which I'll talk about in a second, but you have to go back and think Pittsburgh lost to Western Michigan to start the year off with. And I don't think the committee to put 4 teams in is going to forget that when it comes down to that time. But Wake Forest, if they finish undefeated, it'll be an interesting discussion of getting them into the playoffs versus a one-loss SEC team, of putting those guys in. So Wake Forest was my number 9. My number 10A, 10B, and 10C. 10A is Pittsburgh. I'm putting Pittsburgh in. I've ignored them for a long time because of their early season loss. But Clemson is an elite defense, and for them to beat Clemson and to move the football the way they did against an elite defense, even though Clemson just basically is not a, I mean, they're a bad offense. They're not a below average offense. They're a bad offense. But for Pittsburgh to do what they've done, for the quarterback to play the way that he's playing, and for me not to have them in the top 10 is just not right. So I'm moving them up to my number 10. Auburn didn't play. I'm keeping Auburn at 10B. I think that Auburn can win every game from here on out, and they also could lose every SEC game from here on out. So they're a team that has gotten better and progressed. And again, with an open date, normally there should be a healthy jump for them because of the open date that they just had. And then Michigan State is my 10C. Again, Michigan State wins a lot of close games. I don't think that they can win out. I think they're fixing to get into their games that they could lose with Michigan coming up soon. They've got Ohio State and Penn State. And, you know, the big team that for the AP top 10 dropped out, Penn State, they weren't in mine because Penn State, as I'd said before, they're just not a good team. They're not a good football team. They're a good defense against bad people. And they just that league is just, you know, there's so many bad teams in that league. And so everybody thought that, you know, the close loss to Iowa shouldn't drop them out of the top 10. Iowa's a bad football team. So we'll get into all of the other teams that played yesterday that matter, that mean something, that people should care about. Mississippi State went to Vanderbilt and did what Mike Leach does against bad teams, scored a whole bunch of points, and made everybody forget for a day or two about how bad they are against some other people. But I forgot how bad Vanderbilt is. Vanderbilt's offense is horrendous. I'd seen them once before on film, and they're just absolutely horrible. And Mississippi State's defense is good. They play good football. They play good hard football. And so this was a game that was just – it was going to happen that way. And Mike Leach got him another blowout of a bad team. Also, a game of a few days ago, the Middle Tennessee State game over Connecticut. Big win for Middle. Had an open date. Connecticut is horrible, one of the worst teams in college football. But Middle did what they're supposed to do. They went up. They took care of business. They played good football. They played good on both sides of the ball. And I believe, and I'll go ahead and come out and say this, Middle, I've said that they could win the Eastern Division of Conference USA with two conference losses, which they already have against Charlotte and UTSA. But I believe that Middle will win the East side because I think basically they've got the best football team. I think that now that they made the quarterback change and they're now playing the way that they needed to play, they're playing good tempo. Chase Cunningham is a really good RPO thrower. They are playing good defense, good solid defense now. They match up good. They just played a hard schedule at the beginning of the year. The Charlotte game was a bad loss for them on the road, but they came back and beat Marshall. And UTSA is a top 20 team. UTSA is a legitimate top 20 football team. And that was before they'd made the quarterback change. So I believe that Middle Tennessee is going to win out. They're going to win the East Division and they'll have a chance to play UTSA again in the championship game if everything goes the way that I see it going. So congrats to them. A good win for them on the road. And then they've got a really favorable schedule left over that they're going to have a chance to win out with. So with that being said, another couple of games that are worth mentioning. I think it's worth shouting out. I know nobody really cares, but Louisiana Monroe, what a big deal. They were one of the worst teams ever in college football. And Terry Bowden and Rich Rodriguez have been coaching for 7 million years. They're as old as I am, I think. And for them to turn that thing around, beat Liberty last week, and then beat a South Alabama, a good South Alabama team this week, 41-31. Hats off. What a great job that those guys have done. Louisville, because they're in our rivalry deal, we keep up with them, the rivalry with Kentucky. Man, is Louisville a hard team to figure out. They beat a decent Boston College team yesterday, 28-14, and their defense played really well. Football is always about matchups. You know, sometimes one team matches up really good against another team and another team doesn't. That's why it's impossible to compare scores and think so-and-so beat so-and-so by 30 points. So therefore we beat them. We should therefore easily beat them. It's easy to put those numbers together, but it's not realistic because football is always about matchups. Army and Navy both took losses. Both played hard, tough football. Both played their asses off, and that is now set up to be what looked to be a blowout weeks ago, Army blowing Navy out. That's going to be a game now. That's going to be a good, tough, hard-nosed football game, and we'll talk about those predictions later on in the week. Other games that took place early, Coastal Carolina, I never did put them in my top 20. I don't have 20, I only have 10. I never listed them because they hadn't played anybody. Well, they finally played somebody. They went to Appalachian State. Appalachian State had phenomenal environment, and App State did what App State does. They beat Coastal Carolina, and Coastal Carolina, you got to get a better schedule. You've done a phenomenal job. The schedule was what it should be. But now that you're up there, now that you've got a name, you got your quarterback for another year, you need to go ahead and you need to upgrade your schedule. You guys have got to play somebody that matters somewhere out there in the world. Huge win for SMU, ranked 21 in the AP. They'll move up again this week. Great win for them against Tulane. Tulane has not been the same since the hurricane. When the hurricane hit, I don't know what happened, but the Tulane team that played Oklahoma is no longer there. That team is long gone. And the only thing I went back and looked at for them and LSU, we can't forget about the hurricane and the effects that that has on human beings when they look across and they see all the effects, the devastation of that. Another big win yesterday, Iowa State beat Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's now out of the Final Four talk, so you don't have to worry about that. Oklahoma State, good solid, good football team. So good of a football team coached that Mike Gundy was given a perpetual contract that he can stay there forever until he dies, I guess. And he deserves it. Done a hell of a job there. Iowa State, who had already lost two games over an undefeated Oklahoma State team, was favored by 7. Vegas always knows who the better team is. Iowa State didn't cover, but they did win the game. And that's going to set it up now for the Oklahoma game. I believe that Iowa State, now I'll just go ahead and come out and say it, I believe Iowa State will beat Oklahoma now. And then we already talked about Ole Miss and what they did. Notre Dame took care of business by beating USC yesterday. They won, I believe it was 30-something to 16. USC is just not very good, as we've said before. Notre Dame is just, my God, are they blessed by the ever-loving schedule. Because all these teams that they've had to schedule, it's not their fault. They scheduled them years in advance. But just the simple fact that all these teams have turned out to be bad is crazy. The only team that didn't was the one that beat them, and that's Cincinnati. So that was the one game that didn't turn out to be bad. San Diego State, man, they took on Air Force, two top 25 teams in the AP. San Diego State wins that game 20-14. San Diego State defensively is one of, if not well, it's one of the best defenses in college football. Nobody's as good as Georgia, but San Diego State is really good. So that was a good win for them. But even if they went out, there's no chance in hell that they're going to be in the Final Four of those. And then finally, two final deals to talk about. I'll do Wisconsin first. Wisconsin beat Purdue. Purdue had jumped into the top 25. Purdue just can't score, not a good offense. Wisconsin's not a good football team, but Purdue's out of anybody thinking about them. Wisconsin shouldn't be talked about at all. It's just not a very good league right now, with the exception of just a couple of the elite teams in it. And then finally, UTSA, Texas San Antonio, goes to Louisiana Tech, wins 45-16. Let me tell you something. What Jeff Traylor has done is beyond imagination. Jeff Traylor is one of the top five coaches in all of football this year, regardless of whether or not they're Power Five or not. They went on the road and they beat Illinois on the road. They went on the road. They beat Memphis on the road. They've taken care of business in Conference USA. If they win out and they win the conference championship game, they will be and should be in one of the elite bowl games on New Year's Day in that time period. So congrats to Jeff Traylor and his coaching staff and the players at UTSA for just an incredible job that they have done so far. Good college football week. Now it's going to start getting nitty gritty, down dirty. I can't wait to start breaking down the film today, watching all of the great things that I didn't see by watching television and watching my computer and following the game all the way through. If you didn't get a chance, make sure you listen to the special episode of Auburn's Biggest Fan yesterday. My 7-year-old grandson gave an incredible interview, very knowledgeable, much more knowledgeable than 99% of all the fans in college football, with some great perspective. And he, yes, my grandson, is a Auburn War Damn Eagle fan. So, with that being said, enjoy Sunday. We'll have some great stuff for you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to today's show. One, go to coachtf.com/podcast and leave us your email so we can send you your free download for our Pigskin Pocket Card, which gives you 10 simple steps to follow daily to ensure an amazing life. Two, do something good today for someone who can never repay you, and you'll have truly lived an amazing life. 3. Join us Monday through Friday for new episodes and download any of our episodes wherever you get your podcast, or simply download from our coachtf.com/podcast. 4. Give us a 5-star review today so we can continue to put together entertaining and informative episodes. Always remember, do good, no repay.